Amen. Thank you, my brother. What a blessing. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also freely by him give us all things? Now that means all things except when the virus is going on. No, it doesn't mean that at all. All things. In every situation of life, God's able to take care of us, and thank God he has. And I want to just announce to you, I've not been a bit depressed. I've not been a bit discouraged. I have had a burden for people. I have prayed for people. I so miss being able to be with my brothers and sisters of the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, you can pray one for another, love one another, contact one another. Thank you to all of our friends who made contact with me through Facebook or phone calls or text or cards. And they've all been very special, and I treasure them. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. And Ricky had the privilege of going to Israel, and he was blessed there. And we who went back last October, and in spite of all the things that happened at the end, it was a blessing, still a blessing. And as we rode around, I enjoyed everything we saw, everything we experienced. And but those who were on our bus, we had three busloads, but all those on our bus, I know that they were especially blessed by our guide, Savik. And I listened intently to him. I tried to, and once I got home, I wished I took more notes. I tried to take notes while we were riding because he just was a wealth of information and blessing historically and biblically. And one of the things he mentioned to us was this: Isaiah 53 is not read in Jewish synagogues. It's called the forbidden text. They don't want them to read it. Not in the synagogues. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the Savior. Notice what it said in Isaiah 53 and verse number 1. Who hath believed our report? You see, if a person can believe the truth that I'm about to read to you, they can go to heaven. They don't have to do anything unique. They don't have to be a part of any particular church or denomination. They don't even have to be baptized. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. This is an awesome passage of scripture. And as you read this whole chapter with me this morning, I hope you have your Bible at home or your whatever you're looking at the scriptures with. Let's read Isaiah chapter 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone into his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. He opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any guile in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide with him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. and he bare the sins of many and make intercession for the transgressors. This passage of scripture, written some 700 years before Christ ever came, describes in detail the suffering of our Lord. And what an awesome passage of scripture this is. I want us to pray together, and then I want to focus on one little statement in this long passage. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you now for what you've done. God, thank you for all your mercy and grace you've extended to us. Our Father, for the great days that we've known here in this place and for the great days that we'll know in the future. We believe, our Father, that God, you have a plan, and this all this is according to your plan. Our Father, there is across this land today many, many who are joining us by means of internet and radio. Our Father, they too are going through all these difficult times. But Lord, I believe with all my heart that this is a time of your drawing us closer to yourself. I believe, God, that people have prayed probably more in the last few weeks than they have in a long time. I think maybe they spent more time reading the Word of God and seeking your face. And Lord, you made a promise that if we would humble ourselves and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, you would hear from heaven, you'd forgive our sins, and you'd heal our land. And God, I pray, God, that people would heed that, and God, they'd do that. Lord, I don't know how to express my gratitude to you this morning for the cross, for all you've done for us. And now, Father, we go begin now in the month of April for a new vision of the cross. I pray, God, you'd help us to understand and see what it really means. Now, God, give your anointing. Father, I want to bow before you this morning and confess that there's no good thing in me. And apart from the work of the Holy Spirit of God, nothing of eternal consequence will take place now. But God, bless your people. Bless those who are listening. And God, do by your grace save some. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to call your attention in this passage of Scripture just to just one verse in this passage of Scripture. Look at verse number 5. Now, I know, and you know that I know, that the division of the Scriptures has come many years, about the year 1200, I think, the division of the Scriptures into chapters and verses. But I think it's always significant when I notice biblical numbers in reference. And I notice that this is the 5th verse in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 5. 5 in the Bible is the number of grace. If you look at the number 53, it's grace. 3 is the number of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And verse 5 is the number of grace. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And grace in the Bible is given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. God loved us. The Spirit of God came. The Lord Jesus Christ came and suffered and bled and died. And then the Spirit of God has made this truth real to all of us. I want to look at this one verse though today and one word in that verse. And it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded. This week as I've thought and pondered over this passage of Scripture once again, you realize that this is God's only begotten Son. You realize that he was perfect. He pleased the Father in every way. He was eternal, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit before in eternity past, and even now he's still eternal God. He's God incarnate in human flesh. He was the perfect, holy child. That the angel said to Mary, this holy thing that's going to happen to you is conceived in you, is of the Holy Ghost. He was holy and he was wounded. Can you imagine the creator of this world bearing wounds in his body? Can you imagine this perfect one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy One, receiving wounds at the hand of his creation? They call his name shall be called the Prince of Peace, who suffered such violence. The Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for us. He suffered and bled and died for us. But in this passage of Scripture, it says specifically that he received wounds. And this word in the Hebrew means to hurt by violence. This is not something just happened. It is something, number one, it was intentional wounds. They intended for it to be painful. The Lord Jesus Christ and all that he suffered in the scourging, the plaiting of the crown and pressing on his brow, the beating with the reed, the slapping and punching him with their fist, the pulling of the beard from his face, the beating with the cat of nine tails, that was intentional. They planned to do that. And as I thought about that this week, how they so came after him and intentionally wounded him, I saw a little further back and I read it down in this passage of scripture, down, if you will, look at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. The Lord Jesus Christ was bruised at the pleasure of the Father. Isn't that an awesome statement? The wounds he received were not intentional from the Roman soldiers and the Jewish people who were involved in all of that, but by God the Father himself. No wonder that verse I quoted in the beginning, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. You recall that some time ago, God spoke a little truth to my heart for many years I never saw as a pastor. It's the simplest verse or the most popular verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But here's what caught my attention. One little word I ran over so quickly. God gave his son. And when I studied that word gave, I began to understand it's used in the context of presenting an offering or presenting a sacrifice. He has made his soul an offering for sin. He presented his son as a sacrifice. I've been reading in the Old Testament. And I'm going to tell you, lamb after lamb, bullock after bullock, and blood flowed all across that courtyard there at the temple. There's gallons and gallons of it, thousands and thousands of sacrifices. And it would have been just a horrific thing for most of us to experience. But God in eternity past purposed that he'd send his son. He knew every stripe he would receive. He knew the beating that he would experience. And God purposed that. You say, why in the world did he do that? For God so loved you. It was intentional wounds. Not only was it intentional wounds, but it was insidious wounds. Those who beat him there, those who mocked him there, they hated him. I've heard people talk about President Trump and how people hate him. And that's a tip of the iceberg to how they hated the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he did and all that he stood for. It has to do with this insidious wounds has to do with the idea of great treachery. They tried to entrap him everywhere he went. They tried to deceive him. They tried to do everything they could. And finally, all of their wrath boiled out in this insidious persecution as he was beaten. And he received those wounds. They were not only intentional, but they were insidious. It came out of the anger of man toward a holy God. My dear friend, it amazes me when I look around at what's going on, how few people are really turning to the Lord outside of those of us who know Jesus. God's speaking to this nation. And yet it should surprise me, because when you come to the book of Revelation and you study the tribulation period, when he rains down great wrath and judgment on men, the Bible said they look at God and they curse God, they blaspheme God, and they will not turn from their sin then either. But my dear friend, here is the Lord Jesus Christ at the hands of wicked men. It was insidious wounds. Not only that, it was inhumane wounds. I think about the sacrifices. Passover is coming up this week. And those Jews, when they take that little lamb, they put him up for 14 days. He becomes a pet to the family. And when he's taken for sacrifice, the Jews, the priests, knew how to execute their sacrifices. They had learned how to take the life of a sacrifice in as best they could in a painless manner. They learned how to cut his throat in such a way that immediately the blood flow would stop to his brain and he'd feel no pain. They'd die, they'd bleed out. But not so with our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And yet you saw the cruelty of it, the savageness of it. You saw all that it did, the inhumane treatment of this Lamb of God. I see on April Pope's Facebook quite often, the little lambs.
And every time I see one, I think about the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And I think about this inhumane treatment of how they abused his body. This, thinking about this, they were absolutely destitute of any kind of kindness toward him. There was no mercy shown. There was no tenderness shown. There was no grace shown at that time. It was inhumane treatment. They were inhumane wounds that he received. Not only that, these wounds that were intentional, these wounds that were inhumane, these wounds that were insidious were also intercessory. Now, what do you mean by that? Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I read the verse to you again, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. It was all for us. It was all for you. You may not know Christ. You may have rejected the Bible and reject him, but I'm telling you, he knew you. And when he died on that cross, he died loving the whole world. When he died on the cross, he came to give his life. He said, I've come to give my life a ransom. It wasn't a matter of giving gold or silver. We're not redeemed with corruptible things as gold and silver, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of God. And my dear friend, this Lord Jesus Christ came and he suffered and bled, and it was intercessory wounds. Every stripe should have been yours. Every pain should have been yours. Every thirst should have been yours. The separation from God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That should have been yours. But he said he was wounded for us, wounded for us. The wounds were intercessory. That means that he stood in the place of another, one party who favors another to the giving of his own life. He loved us so much. And that word favor, he said to Mary, thou art highly favored, it means highly graced. Oh, what grace brought him down? 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, grace my fear relieved. It was grace that brought him to the Calvary, It was grace that allowed him to give his life for us. But I say to you, these wounds are not only intentional and insidious and inhuman and incessory, but they are inestimable in their value. There's no way to estimate what they're worth. How much were they worth? People have scars and battle wounds. I saw a little commercial on TV, a person with a wound, and they said something about that they were proud of that. It represented something to them. But my dear friend, let me say that, well, how do you value what he did for you on the cross? How can you value these wounds? There's no way to estimate the value of them because he did it all for you. He suffered and bled to die for you. Oh, listen, it's an awesome thing to think that he would bear our cross. He would die our death. He would experience our thirst. He'd experience our separation from God. He did all of that for us. But my dear friend, how do you put a value on that? Well, here it is. The book of Isaiah again says this, ho, everyone that thirsts, come and drink of the water freely. He that hath no money, come and drink. You know what the value is so far as what I have to pay, what you have to pay? No way to pay it. No way to estimate the value of it. We could never pay enough for what he did for us on the cross. No way to estimate the value of it. But I say to you quickly this morning, not only were these wounds intentional, not only were they inhumane and insidious, intercessory, inestimable in their value, but they are indispensable. The God of this universe fashioned everything so intricately that it worked right the first time. There's no such thing as God having to redo anything. The sun was created at the right temperature in the right place, and it's been there ever since. He hung the world in space. You just think about it. Can you just imagine? You know, the stars, they're in the middle of the air, and they stay there. I mean, that is so amazing to me. I mean, it'd be like you just going out and take a big old rock and, you know, just throw it up there and it just stay up there. And here's this third rock from the sun that hangs on nothingness, Job said. And yet he did all of that. Do you think if there was any other way that could be discovered or learned or any way to redeem fallen man that God wouldn't have come up with that idea? You think if a person could go to heaven by baptism, why would he send his son? If you think a person could be saved by keeping the law, why did he send his son? If you think that you could do good enough to go to heaven, your good deeds could take you to heaven, why would he send his son? For this very reason, no man cometh to the Father but by me, Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's the only way. That's the only way it could have worked. He was the sinless Lamb of God. These wounds were indispensable. He came to suffer and bleed and die for me and you. And God gave his son because that's the only redemption, man. But oh, what a redemption it is. It's full, it's free, and it's forever. Thank God for it. And you can have it today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Who hath believed our report? That is what we're going to say. Here's what we say. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He died for you. He died for me. He was resurrected. He's alive now. And he said this, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. What a blessing. The wounds of Christ are indispensable. They had to be inflicted. He had to suffer that death. He had to pay that price. And he's done it now. And now it's a free gift. The wages of sin is death. Death for those who don't trust him. But the payment on sin for me and you was the death of his dear son. He hath purchased us, the Bible said, with his own blood. And my dear friend, that's the only way you go to heaven. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And Christ died, indispensable wounds, for you and I. As I was up this morning praying and thinking about the message and reading some other passages of scripture, this old song came to my mind. And I was thinking it had a different title, but I finally looked it up. And here's what it says. Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Father, forgive them. Thus did he pray, even while his lifeblood flowed fast away. Praying for sinners while in such woe, no one but Jesus ever loved so. Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend. How can my praise ever find end? Though the years unnumbered in on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Thank God for Calvary. A new look at the cross. I want you to know him. I want you to know that he's alive. I want you to know that he can save you today. And right now, where you are in your home, car, wherever you may be listening on the radio or internet, would you trust Christ? Who hath believed? In the Old Testament, salvation is by faith. It says of this, of Abraham, he believed God and he was counted to him for righteousness. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. When we were in the Holy Land, it was all a blessing. But I'm like so many, I really love the Sea of Galilee. And while we were on the Sea of Galilee and we had a brief service, Brother Ralph Sexton asked Brad to sing a song. And this week we were talking about it, and Regina said, I think Brad ought to sing that song more. And so I asked him if he'd sing as we close our service this morning. Think about this, and while you're at home, God's people, you pray for me, pray for one another, but pray the souls will be saved during this time. And we look forward to getting to be with you again. God bless you. We love you. and give your heart to Jesus. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you now for what you did for us. And I pray, God, that people will believe the report and that they'll come to know Christ. And oh, Lord Jesus, if they knew you like I knew you, blessed Redeemer, dying for me, bleeding and dying for me, I want to thank you for that. Bless our friends, few friends here in the building, and the unnumbered host in the radio audience and the internet audience. In Jesus' name.